Arlington police say protests Monday remain generally peaceful, but say there were, quote, several agitators.
Send me another unit, please. Send me another unit.
Look what you did to my store.
This is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
All right, welcome back to Into the Fray. I try to make this podcast more about topics and principles than actual news. You can get the news same as I can. Today, Israel is facing a hostage crisis that I think is about to become much more widespread. And I think its spread is directly attributable to the Biden administration. Hamas is using people as currency. They're using women and men and babies as money. They took over 200 of Israel's people, and now they're trying to use them to get what they want. Possibly the worst part of this is, they only have power because the Biden administration is backing them. It's the Biden administration that is pressuring Israel into these negotiations. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, we don't negotiate with terrorists. Why is that? Why don't we make deals with terrorists? I mean, you give them what they want, and the hostages come home. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Only if you're a first-order thinker. If you can't see past the bridge of your nose, then that might make some sense. But if you can see 2, 3, 5 moves ahead, you see what's happening. Imagine you're a store owner. This isn't a perfect analogy, but it'll make a point. Imagine you're a store owner and someone robs you. They take all the money out of your registers and all the money out of your safe. Then a few days later, they come back and they start trying to buy products from your store with your money. That's, in essence, what's happening here. What happens if it works? They'll keep doing it. And it did work. It got them what they wanted. The only way to deter this kind of behavior is to refuse them the fruits of their efforts. In this case, however, it's not money we're dealing with. It's people. It's little boys and girls. It's women and men. It's babies. A lot of babies. So long as you tell the terrorists to go to hell and then you put your efforts into sending them there until you get your people back, those people remain people. They remain little boys and girls. They remain men and women and babies. The moment you come to the table to barter what they can get for those people, they're no longer people. They're a medium for getting the terrorists what they want. They're no longer human beings. They're currency. And in that market, there's only one way to get wealthier. You take more people. I talked about this a little last time. For a long time, the dark side of the world knew you don't take Americans. You wouldn't get a ransom. You wouldn't further your cause. You'd get black helicopters in the middle of the night, and you'd be dead. It wasn't profitable. It didn't work the way it was supposed to. Bad people will do bad things to the extent that it is profitable. If taking hostages gets them what they want, they'll keep taking more hostages. That's why you don't negotiate with terrorists. It does two things. One, it makes their efforts profitable, thereby further incentivizing more. This is not something we want more of. And two, it legitimizes what they've done. If they say, I have this currency and I want XYZ, and you give them what they want, or even talk to them about possibly giving them what they want, you're telling them and the world that their currency is valid with you. You are telling them and the world that human lives are a valid currency in your market. People are not currency. We are not property. Our value is in what we can do to improve the world, not in what people can get from us or for us. Israel made it very clear they had no intention of negotiating with Hamas. If they just keep doing what they're doing, if they just keep pushing forward and dismantling and destroying Hamas, this will be over and done. And the world will know you don't go after Israel's people. This could be the ultimate F around and find out message from Israel to the rest of the world. Instead, the Biden administration put enough pressure on them that they went to the negotiating table and gave validity to Hamas and their actions. Why doesn't Israel just tell the U.S. to pound sand and deal with this in their own way? Israel's dependent on the United States for a great deal of their security. Their Iron Dome missiles are supplied by the U.S., something they're starting to run a little low on. They're waiting on thousands of badly needed rifles from the U.S. They're also dependent on the U.S. remaining a deterrent against other adversaries in the region. If the U.S. pulled out our carrier groups, I'm sure that would put Israel in a tight spot. They're already facing down a three-front war as it is. Why would the Biden administration push Israel to negotiate with terrorists? What possible progress could be made from this? It gets worse. The latest report I saw said that Hamas has not yet signed the deal Israel has agreed to and is pushing off the date for releasing hostages. The Biden administration has put this terrorist organization in a position where they are dictating terms. Think about that a moment. The Biden administration put a terrorist organization in a position to dictate terms. I'm going to say it here. The Biden administration is backing Hamas. The current administration, the Office of the Executive of the United States, is backing and supporting terrorism. This is evil of the highest order. The current executive administration is engaged in unmasked evil. By pushing Israel to the negotiating table, the Biden administration is legitimizing everything Hamas did on October 7th. The Biden administration is signaling that they believe the people who committed the horrific atrocities of October 7th have valid standing in this conflict and a legitimate position from which to negotiate. The Biden administration is putting their seal of approval on the legitimacy of beheading babies, raping women, burning families alive in their homes, cutting pregnant women open and cutting off their unborn child's head, stabbing small children through the head. Have I made my point? They're putting legitimacy on the position that Hamas is in, and on the things that they have done. That is evil. Our grandparents must be looking down from heaven in horror of what we're doing. Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, the PIJ, the Palestinian Authority, all take their inspiration from the Nazis. That's not exaggeration or hyperbole. They quote Hitler. They praise Hitler. They have their own Nazi propaganda, swastikas and all. And they openly state that they intend to finish the work the Nazis started. Once upon a time, America made a name for herself stopping Hitler and the Nazis. It became a huge part of our identity. We were proud of the sacrifice and accomplishment of eradicating something so unabashedly evil. I heard a quote yesterday, "When violence is the only language your enemy speaks, you speak to them in that language." Our grandparents learned to speak that language, and they learned to speak it righteously. How far we have fallen. America has installed into power an administration that is backing and supporting the Nazi cause. Our grandparents defeated Hitler, and now the might of our nation is being used to back his ideological progeny. We should be ashamed. But instead, America is filled with people who don't pay enough attention to realize their shoes are untied, let alone the reality on the ground in Israel and its implications here. Have you ever wondered how a great nation dies? It's simple. They get complacent, then they get lazy, then stupid, then selfish, then evil. At that point, they're either torn apart from the inside, from the outside, or both. If good people are too few or too weak to push back and restore order and light, then things get dark and terrible for everyone. I know how amazing America can be. I know what we are capable of building and how good life can be for us here. We have only begun to see the life improvements that could come from our innovation and collaboration. We are capable of so much good. What concerns me, what keeps me up at night, is seeing how few have any concept of how bad and how dark things can get. Even the dark times covered in history classes are taught from a 30,000-foot view, where none of the day-to-day reality has any opportunity to sink in. The level of individual and family suffering that has dominated most of world history is somehow entirely lost to most Americans. Our leadership, those America has put in the highest positions of trust and power, are actively supporting terrorists and Nazis. Things aren't going dark. They've gone dark. Anyone who can't see that now has been covering their eyes so long they can't tell the difference. There's a cycle being commonly quoted now. Good times make weak men. Weak men make hard times. Hard times make strong men. Strong men make good times. You can't make people better. People choose to be better or worse, and the sum of those individual choices makes a society what it is. Whatever it is. If we want any chance of coming out the other side of this in one piece, we have to be good, strong, and bold. Individually and as families. The crowd is never going to get this one right. It's on us. Till next time, be informed, stay safe, don't do anything stupid.